We're joined by Phil Twyford. Hi, Phil. How are you going today?
Yeah, g'day. Glad to be on the show.
We've got you coming through loud and clear there. So this morning you went head-to-head with Paula Bennett on the AM show. You were filling in for Calvin there and you're filling in for him here. How did that go this morning? It was quite fiery.
Well, I think, for me it was an important opportunity to put it to Paula and to Duncan Garner's audience that National's entire election campaign has been based on lying about Labor's campaign,
right.
Which is kind of strange when you think about it. But after 9 years, these guys have got so little left in the tank that really they've been able to cobble a campaign together based on lying and misinformation and really trying to frighten people to voting National.
Yeah, Paula did take sort of a bit of a defensive stance on that, but she used the Labor's relentless positivity against you, saying that you were insulting the National Party by calling them liars. I mean, is this just getting a bit bickery in its final days?
Because it's true.
It is?
I mean, what are we going to basically stand around and just pretend that the National Party's running a positive campaign? I mean, look, Stephen Joyce, their campaign manager and finance minister, basically tried to tell the world that there was an $11 billion hole in Labor's fiscals, and he has been utterly discredited. There isn't a single economist or serious commentator who has publicly come out in support of him, and yet a dozen senior economists and analysts publicly came out and said he's wrong. And yet Bill English, the Prime Minister and National's candidate to be to lead the next government, has doubled and tripled down on that lie and basically did it again last night in TV New Zealand's final leaders debate.
And did Paula Bennett again this morning?
Yeah, she did. I mean, it's unbelievable. And then yesterday, I think the National Party unveiled another attack ad on Labor, basically saying that we're going to raise income taxes. Well, we're not. And Duncan Garner said it this morning on the AM show, and numerous other people have pointed out. Mike Hosking said it last night in the leaders' debate. Labor is not going to raise income taxes, but the National Party continue to go around saying that. So
how are the Labor Party responding? I mean, National's tactic here does seem to be to target Labor's taxation.
Well, it's straight out of the Trump playbook, basically. It's just like Bill English going around saying, accusing Labor of driving a wedge between urban and rural New Zealand. We're doing nothing of the sort. He's actually doing it by saying it and stoking the fires of division, as they did with that ridiculous protest in Matamata. So it's kind of a shame that the campaign's come to this, but we're not going to sit around and just kind of take it on the chin. And these guys are lying through their teeth, and they need to be called on it.
So part of our coverage this week at BFM, we're focusing on transport and livability. One of Labor's key policies this election is a light rail network in Auckland, which is a costly project expected to exceed $1.5 billion. Why have you decided on this instead of, say, expanding existing transport networks?
So we're excited about this. This transport policy has the potential to transform Auckland. You know, Auckland has so much going for it as a city, but there's two really big problems we have to fix, and one of them is the housing crisis, and one of them is the gridlock on the roads. And this policy to build a modern, rapid transit network across the city has the potential to really make Auckland a much, much better city to live in. So what we're going to do is actually, over a 10-year period, we're going to spend $15 billion. That's $15 billion. It's the budget is similar in scale to the government's own transport plan for Auckland that they've negotiated with the Auckland Council. What we've done is rejigged the priorities. So we're going to be building fewer roads and more public transport, because after decades of underinvestment in public transport, we think it's time to catch up. And Auckland, as New Zealand's biggest a city of scale, our international gateway, needs a decent public transport system in order to work properly. So we're going to build light rail to the airport from the CBD within the first 4 years. And that's going to go up Queen Street and Dominion Road and then to Roskill and then across to Onehunga and Mangere Bridge into the airport. We're going to build also light rail from the city on alongside State Highway 16 to Westgate in West Auckland.
So are these transport methods going to be expensive to use?
No, they won't. And in fact, our commitment is that public transport should be cheaper. I mean, one of the ridiculous things at the moment, actually, is that public transport is so expensive in Auckland.
It is very expensive, yeah. A lot of people can't even use it because it's so expensive.
For many people, it's cheaper to drive, especially if you've got, you know, free or subsidised parking. So if we make public transport cheaper, more people will use it.
So how are Labor going to go about bringing down the cost of public transport?
Well, the first thing is that we're committed to, in government, that central government should pay its fair share in terms of building the actual infrastructure. But the thing that makes the fares so expensive currently and deters so many people from using public transport is the government's requirement that 50% of the cost of those services, the running costs of the services, be clawed back through the fare box. So the government really has the lever to control how affordable public transport is. So we're going to look at that in government and look at how we can make public transport cheaper. Because it's nuts currently that where it's cheaper for people to drive and clog up the roads than it is to take the train or the bus to work.
The Labor transport policy has been accused of creating a bit of a rural-urban divide. Does the 10 cents per litre regional fuel tax add to this, do you think?
Actually, on the contrary. So what the thing about the funding of this transport plan is that the National's committed to a 10-year transport plan for Auckland, which is mostly roads and motorways. But there's a $6 billion gap in that plan, and National is not saying how they're going to fund it. They're trying to put pressure on Auckland Council to sell off assets like the airport shares and the ports of Auckland, and they're not getting very far with that. But they're not being, National's not being upfront with Aucklanders and telling them how that $6 billion gap over 10 years will be funded. We are being upfront about it, and we're saying that we're going to ensure that that gap is funded. If Auckland Council asks us to legislate a regional fuel tax that would be something like 10 cents a litre, it would add a few extra dollars every time you fill up at the pump. It will generate $150 million a year or $1.5 billion over 10 years. That will be a significant but small contribution that Aucklanders can make over and above what everybody around the country, the contribution that everybody makes through road user charges and petrol tax. And the reason we think it's important is that you can't ask people in Whanganui and Dunedin and Gisborne to pay all the costs of Auckland's growth. You know, about 60 to 70% of the country's growth is happening in Auckland. Mm-hmm. It's only fair that Aucklanders who get the benefit of that growth should chip in a little bit extra. So that's what the regional fuel tax is about. And there are other ways that we'll bridge that $6 billion gap. Targeted rates to capture the value uplift around the new network. Property values will go through the roof around the light rail network. That's the experience overseas. Auckland Council's got ideas about how they can recoup some of those windfall gains to help pay for the infrastructure. And most importantly, Labor will make sure that that central government pays its fair share for this light rail network through, which is out of the central government's transport budget, just as it would as if it was a motorway or a road network.
Right. Looking into the future, more people will be buying electric cars. Scotland, for example, have just updated their targets in terms of getting fuel cars off the road. Are Labor looking to encourage the increased sale of electric cars? Do you have any plans to support infrastructure in this area?
Indeed, yeah. So one of the things we can do is for government to work with industry to ensure that refueling infrastructure is more readily available. But the biggest thing...
Do you mean refueling for petrol or for electric?
Yeah, for electric, sorry. Right. Yep. We absolutely have to accelerate the electrification of the vehicle fleet in New Zealand. It's one of the most important ways that we can reduce carbon emissions. So, the single biggest thing that government could do is to electrify the government fleet. That would then create a second-hand market for electric vehicles in New Zealand. And within a period of years, you would have several tens of thousands of electric vehicles on the road. It would greatly speed the take-up for, you know, private customers. And that's what we will do. So that's one of the, probably in terms of reducing our carbon emissions, that is one of the single most important steps we could take.
All right. Well, thank you very much for joining, Phil.
Hey, thanks. I appreciate the chance to be on the show.
No worries. Kelvin. No worries. Cheers. Have a good day.
Okay. Bye-bye.